Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. As I mentioned a moment ago, Building the Bakken is part of the Crude Life Media Network. It's not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. With programs like Building the Bakken, we're able to tell the stories of the people, the communities, and the companies, those that are within the industry, those that are involved with the day-to-day evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry. On today's episode, we got a fantastic program lined up for you folks. William Prentice gives us our weekly Davis Refinery update. Of course, the Davis Refinery, the first greenfield refinery being built in the United States in the last 50 years, and it's going to happen right outside of Belfield, North Dakota. It's going to add thousands of jobs to that area, and they're moving ahead with the Davis Refinery. We're going to be joined with William Prentice in just a moment. Also, later on in the program, Senate-elect and current U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer. Fantastic interview. We talk a little bit about the Keystone XL pipeline, the new EPA director, or the possibly soon-to-be EPA director, Andrew Wheeler. Federal view on energy, steel tariffs. Got a lot to put on the table with U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer and Senate-elect Kevin Cramer. And then a little later on in the program, we talk with Tiffany Steiner with the API board. They've got a Christmas party coming up. Plus, they do just a bunch of wonderful things for the oil and gas industry, as well as the local communities that they serve, with scholarships and different programs to help out different organizations. Tiffany Steiner a little later on in the program. All that plus much more this week on Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking with the
people that I know. Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, and they're spearheading the Davis Refinery in Belfield, North Dakota.
Well, I think that by and large, people in our country think of refineries as being dirty places. And, that's from their experience. And your average refinery in this country, the plant and equipment is probably 40, 50 years old. So in some of the, even in California, which is known as being a state that's very hard on polluters, there are refineries here that were originally built the turn of the previous century, in the early 1900s. And it's just, you know, it's all big iron, and it's hard to change it and update it. You have advances in catalysts that will be much more efficient in turning hydrocarbons into fuel. It's inefficiency that really gives rise to pollution. And you can't really go out and turn 300 tons of metal into a new thing that you can pack with a different kind of catalyst. So a lot of this old technology out there is there for keeps. We don't have that disadvantage. We don't have legacy facilities or technology that we have to stick to. We can adopt the new stuff with a blank sheet of paper. And, I don't like being critical of the guys that operate these older refineries. You know, a lot of them do a very difficult job very well. And, my hat is off to them. But, we decided to do it differently and start with a open piece of ground and a blank sheet of paper and take advantage of all the latest technology. And as a result, we can commit to having emissions that on a you know, compare it to the industry average on a per barrel capacity basis, we're probably at 1/8 of the industry average in terms of pollution.
I suppose it's a lot like when they started putting emission controls in cars, in terms of, you know, that happened pretty quick. And you saw this drastic change in cars that were, you know, putting out some pollutants to where they just really reduced it by a significant amount. Is that kind of what we're talking about here, that the technology has increased that much to where you're able to see a significant change like that? It's not this slow, gradual process like that I think a lot of people are thinking, where, no, this is a done deal. This is new technology that's making it more clean and more efficient, and it's controlling emissions more than before. And I don't know if the car is a good analogy. I just remember you mentioned California, and I remember California when they got into their emission control, you know, those little pieces that you put in the cars that really cut down on the amount of emissions that were being kicked out in California. Is that kind of what we're seeing here, that the technology has gotten really that far advanced to where it's going to be a night and day type of a perception, I guess?
I think it's a good analogy. You know, it used to be that when fuel was cheap and there weren't that many cars around, or that many people for that matter, efficiency was not a big deal. You would have engines that ran fairly cool compared to current engines, and a lot more steel than you really needed to move things around. And so gas mileage, you know, was not a big issue. They start packing a lot of those cars in the confined areas, and that pollution starts to build up. And then suddenly fuel is more expensive. You know, I don't want to date myself by telling you what I used to pay for gasoline when I got my first car, but it was you know, the low double digit cents per gallon. Wow. And it's what, 15 times that now in certain urban areas. And the same is true of crude oil in a refinery. You know, it wasn't that long ago the crude oil was about $10 a barrel. And you know, pollution was not a big issue when most refineries were built, so efficiency was not a big issue. But think about efficiency and pollution. You talk about walking, or, you know, going by many industrial facilities now, what some people think is smoke is just steam coming out of a cooling tower or something like that. You very rarely see smoke because those are hydrocarbons. That's money going out the stack if you're really seeing it. The same is true of the flare stack. Like, people in North Dakota might see the flare at the Mandan refinery once in a while. That's burning up hydrocarbons before they get out into the air. And with modern design, those hydrocarbons don't have to be burned. And pollution should become a marketable product. So yeah, it's an engineering malfunction. If you were to build a new facility that would have all of those attributes of an old plant, meaning high pollution, low efficiency.
To listen to the full-length interview with William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links can be found at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.